Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Modiwa Gabaza, and for today, it is a Friday, which means we get into the hard economics of the week, and we are going to be talking about, you know, how do investors actually stay invested with such market volatility at the moment, given all of the macroeconomic issues that are affecting us at the moment, whether you're talking about inflation, global supply chains, geopolitical tensions. There's just so much that's going on, and it is affecting markets, and people do feel like they, you know, can't stomach, you know, some of this volatility, feeling in the moment like you're losing your money. And how do you stay invested? Because over the long term, that's when people see the returns. But before we get into that discussion, we want to take a moment to pay respect to an economic giant who unfortunately passed away this week, and that is renowned South African economist Mike Schussler, who passed away, you know, earlier in the week. And, you know, he was one of those commentators who was really good, you know, at what, you know, at what he did. Schussler actually founded economists.co.za over in 2005, and on this particular platform, you know, they actually produced the Bankserv Economic Transactions Index, that is the BETI, that we've covered, you know, quite a number of different times. We've got quite an interesting piece out in the Financial Mail, just around how Mike actually contributed to the local economic scene and to the body of knowledge. And one of the quotes that I liked about that is when it said that Mike Schussler, otherwise known as the People's Economist, was able to explain in crisp language what any policy decision meant at home, in the grocery store, and in the workplace. So, you know, definitely a great piece to check out. And I'm just going to quickly read, you know, something that's there. I was just picking out some of the pieces that that we had from there, because he is said to have been, you know, someone who had the rare ability to decode economic jargon, sitting through the noise to find the stories that really mattered. Schussler was prolific in his research and ability to market his own skills, and as an economist, he consulted to the Treasury, Daimler Chrysler, BP, the SA Property Owners Association, the Financial Planning Institute of Southern Africa, the Debt Counselors Association of SA, Capital Works, and the SA Poultry Association, as well as mines, banks, and pharmaceutical companies. So, very sad loss, especially in the economic community. So we decided to reach out to some of the people in the community that did know him, just to say a few words just around how Mike has contributed to the local body of knowledge, his contribution to the economy and to the economic profession. And we reached out first to Annabel Bishop, who is the chief economist at Investec, and here's what she had to say.
I learned of Mike's passing with enormous shock and sadness, and while he has had relief from a terrible illness, we have lost someone who is simply larger than life in the economic community. He was particularly interesting in his analysis and the way he saw facts and figures, of course the way he unpacked them, and his will be greatly missed. I first met Mike in the early 2000s when I came to Johannesburg, and he was always kind, pleasant, and incredibly supportive. He was someone you'd actually seek out at functions, as he was an enjoyable person to chat to, and of course was always very happy and pleasant to be around. He also had enormous confidence and forbearance, and was a pleasure to listen to in presentations, not just for his humour and wit, but for his deep insights as well. It is not possible to see how he can entirely be replaced, but his legacy lives on in the strong work he did, particularly in the analysing of a lot of the Bankserv data, which has proved enormously useful and gives incredibly good readings on the economy. Mike was always someone willing to chat and help out, someone you could always turn to if you wanted deeper insights into the areas he covered, with no problem at all. He was always incredibly accommodating and one of the most pleasant people around. You'll be sorely missed, Mark. Rest well.
Thank you so much to Annabel Bishop for giving us those words. We also reached out to Davi Root, who is the chief economist over at Efficient Group. Here's what he had to say about Mike, his relationship and his contribution to the local economic fraternity.
Thank you for allowing me to say a few words about Mike. He was not only a colleague and a very much respected economist, he was certainly also my friend. I guess we met somewhere in the early 1990s. And that was a time of turmoil for South Africa at various levels. It was change, political change happening in South Africa. It was a change in economics, huge change in economics in South Africa. But not only that, there was also a change happening in the profession called economics. Before that, economists were mostly secretive people sitting in tall buildings somewhere doing stuff that nobody really understood what they were doing. They also spoke in a language that nobody could understand. It was like a secretive kind of language that nobody really knew what they were doing. At that time, both Mike and myself, we started our careers as economists working in the public sector. I started working at the South African Reserve Bank, and Mike started working at Transnet. So we were both basically civil servants. And during this time of transition in South Africa, we started working in the markets, as we called it, and being economists. And during this time, we had to find our feet as economists, of course, to try to figure out what we were standing for, what our beliefs were, what our ideological convictions were. And it happened during the time when everything was changing in South Africa. And I would like to think that that was the beginning of a time when economics became more accessible to people. And I would like to think that Mike and our generation of then contributed a lot to really bringing economics down to the street, to where it's supposed to be, to people, and to make it a subject that everybody can and should be talking about without the jargon, without the high language, without all these very complicated ideas and terminologies. And I think Mike contributed a huge amount to making it much more accessible to people. And I can remember so many evenings we spent together, perhaps drinking far too much, discussing economics and politics and assisting one another to try to understand this whole thing and try to figure out what we really believed in. It was not only about economics and politics. Of course, there were a lot of fun involved there as well. And we talked about music. Mike was an absolute... he knew everything about music. And we had so much fun together at all sort of levels. But Mike had absolutely no regard for seniority or for hierarchy or anything like that. Mike was a people's person. And I can remember we as young economists were invited to join a group of economists consisting mostly of academics and some people from the Reserve Bank and from Treasury and so on. And we were the two youngest there. And all these professors and important people, and many times Mike will jump out with his loud voice, and he will just jump up and say, "Ah, fuck this," to the dismay of everybody else present, of course. But he was not. He was a huge guy with a huge heart. And the reason why we became so passionate and why he used words like this, because he believed in this amazing subject called the economy. And he was getting really worked up and really emotional when he disagreed about things. But never in an aggressive way. Always in an entertaining way. And always in a way that everybody could see that he was there for the journey more than anything else. And we had some other encounters as well and some other experiences as well. Mike and myself, we started a cafe together or a restaurant together, which was a bit of a disaster. But we supported it as much as we possibly can. Or could. And then we encountered the problems that with bureaucracies and how difficult it was to get a liquor license, as an example. And from then on, we realized and we were absolutely convinced that the authorities or the state is quite often the reason why businesses cannot flourish and grow. We battled to get a liquor license for our cafe, as Mike called it. I can also remember a time when Martinez van Schalkwyk asked me if I would stand in the election for the new National Party somewhere in the 90s, and I declined, and he asked me if I can, maybe if I can think of another economist that would be prepared to stand for the new National Party. Then I called Mike and I said, Mike, listen, there's this guy Martinez van Schalkwyk. He wants to see if I want to know if you would prepare to stand for a new National Party. And Mike's words were, and I can remember those words in Afrikaans, he said, not a fork fire I may wear. He won't fire me again, basically. And it turned out that Martinez van Schalkwyk made sure that Mike lost his job as a DJ at the university, because Martinez van Schalkwyk was the council president at the university, and Mike said something bad about the National Party or religion or whatever the case may be. But the point is, Mike is that guy that understood people. He had insights, and this is so important. He had insights in economics. He will get a hunch about something. If he couldn't find the data from the official normal sources, he will go and create the data. He will make sure he get the data to support his specific view. And he mostly turned out to be right on his hunch. But the most important contribution that Mike made, he made a massive contribution as an economist in the country, and he was respected by everybody, including the professors and the big shot people that did this in academia, and also the people working at the Reserve Bank and Treasury. Everybody respected Mike as an accomplished economist, but there's much more to him, because what he did, I believe, is that he brought economics down from the ivory towers. He brought it down to the street, and he made it what it's supposed to be, and that is a braai-vers subject. People could talk about economics, and they could, and that is thanks to Mike, because he made it a people's subject. Because in the end, anyway, economics is about people, isn't it?
Thank you so much, Davi, and thank you so much to Annabelle. As I said, a very sad loss, and certainly going to be remembered. He certainly made his mark, and we will continue, more than likely to report on a lot of some of the indices and some of the tools that he did develop over time. We now turn to a very interesting topic, on this Friday, and that is, how do investors actually stay invested, during some of these tough, turbulent times? When one looks at the stock market, they still say that when it comes to returns, especially over the long term, that the stock market actually provides still, some of the best returns. But staying invested in, some of these markets can be very difficult, especially if you're going through a lot of volatility. One can see what's actually going on right now in the market. There's a huge technology sell-off that's going on globally. Some of the big companies, where they're talking about the likes of Snapchat that were, on the up and up for all of these years, the likes of big technology companies like Cisco that seem to just be going up and up, have been cratering at the moment. But we see that, and that's literally why some of the graphs that you see about returns over time, are little ups and downs, but over time you get that overall trend. So that's the discussion we're going to be having today. And when I was thinking about what do you call this topic, the one word that kept coming to my mind is grit. So yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about: investor grit. How do you develop that, and what are some of the strategies that can actually be instituted to make sure that people aren't swayed a bit too much when it comes to some of the short-term volatility, and to help us to make sense of it all, and to maybe give us some of the more practical elements of how people that are invested can stay invested, or at least make sure that they are growing their portfolios even through some of the more turbulent and difficult times. We are joined by Samkelo Zwane, who is the head of product over at FNB Wealth and Investments. So for today, Samkelo, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning to you too, and good morning to the listeners as well.
No, thank you so much for being with us today. I think, you know, you heard me, you know, just talking about, you know, some of the volatility and all of that. And we are going to get into that discussion. But just before that, you are the head of product at FNB, you know, wealth and investments. Maybe just a little bit around your particular role, just so that we can understand the framing from which you approach, you know, a discussion like this.
Absolutely. So FNB Wealth and Investment is a division of First Rand, just like FNB, and it's also a subdivision of FNB in its own. So our role in the whole spectrum is to design solutions or for our clients in terms of investments. So we are trying to enable our clients to actually save and invest in an efficient manner, and for us to provide that type of information. So we've got a range of solutions that we actually make accessible to our clients, from them being able to trade on our online stock booking platform, from us being able to provide them with the investments in the unit trust through our different wrappers, and from us being able to provide them with portfolios whereby they can invest and have their investments grow over time so that they can secure their financial futures. So that's the role of FNB, Wealth and Investment, at a high level. And from a product perspective, so the responsibility when it comes to product is to ensure that we actually designing solutions, firstly, that can meet our client needs. That's the first aspect. And then secondly, to ensure that these solutions are actually innovative and we're able to actually give our clients value in terms of the different solutions that we are actually designing, and also to ensure that they're actually accessible in an efficient manner using our strategy, which is basically digital. So you realize that, you know, we have our solutions available on the app, online, and all that. So that's the role of the product role together with the product team.
So now that we have that as background and, you know, the types of solutions that you guys are trying to create, I guess we sort of understand where you're coming from. And against that backdrop then, Investor Grit, you heard me talking about the turbulence, and at the moment people are experiencing a lot of volatility in different sectors of the market, and people are likening this to what happened, you know, during the during the property crash of 2008 that caused the global financial crisis and the like, because we've had 2 years of, you know, very unusual economic activity, and all of that is now being exacerbated by what's going on, you know, whether you're talking about Russia, Ukraine, inflation, fuel prices. All of this stuff is affecting the markets because it's cyclical, right? And it's all intertwined. Interest rates go up in one end, investors decide, okay, we're going to go and invest in something else. All of these things are intertwined. Maybe you could characterize for us the market, you know, that we're in, and possibly, you know, is this, I don't know how else to ask this question, but I guess the question that people always ask is, you know, with everything that's going on, should I really be staying invested, or would I rather be moving my money around to try and find the best returns for myself?
So it is very, very important for our listeners to understand that we are in an environment whereby there's a lot of volatility in the market, and there's a lot of investor sentiment driving that volatility. And there's a couple of things which are leading to that volatility. And I mean, the U.S. is one of, you know, it's probably the biggest market whereby when it sneezes, everybody else catches a cold. And at the present moment, what you're actually seeing out there is that the U.S. is trying to actually fight inflation. And inflation has risen to about 8.5, you know, percent at the present moment. And the Fed is actually fighting it by actually increasing the interest rate. That is coming up with other, you know, effects. You know, the increase in the interest rates then raises other things in the market. You know, first and foremost, you know, it's associated with a slowing economy. So they expect the economy to slow down. So if the economy is slowing down, now a decision has to be made. Do you invest in, you know, growth stocks, which are actually take, you know, their value out of a rising economy and an increasing economy, or do you invest in value stocks, which are much more stable. You know, they've got, you know, much more stable fundamentals, and their value is not affected by, you know, this big cycles in the market. So that's what we're seeing that's happening in the US, and what's spilling over to other global markets. And then the Russia-Ukraine effect, whereby, you know, we're seeing the Russia-Ukraine war, which is affecting the supply of oil, which is actually affecting, you know, the price of oil rising up, and everybody, you know, and most of the economies are relying on that. That's creating a lot of uncertainty in there. The companies that are trading in oil, you know, the investors as well as the consumers who actually use, you know, oil, you know, for traveling, and then people use oil, you know, to power, you know, their companies. So that's having that spiral effect. That's bringing a lot of uncertainty in the companies in terms of their valuations, in terms of their expected returns. Because remember, the valuation of a company is actually based on the expected, you know, earnings that the company is going to make over the long time. So that's affecting those companies. That's bringing some volatility in terms of that market. It's affecting the way things are happening. And then, you know, we can't help it. COVID-19 as well. There's a lot of uncertainty around it. You know, pharmaceutical companies, you know, traveling agencies, the closing down of economies, you know, people cannot travel and all that. All that type of uncertainty is actually coming in the market, in that, you know, if you're invested in a traveling, you know, a company, you're not sure if, you know, traveling is going to be closed down. You know, that's going to affect the earnings of the company and the valuation. And that's the stuff that's bringing about the volatility in the market and all that. However, very, very important is that, you know, this is something that happens from time to time. The markets actually do experience extreme volatilities now and again. You know, we talk about the 2008 financial crisis, and there we actually saw a lot of volatility coming in the market. We talk about the tech bubble. We saw a lot of volatility coming in the market, you know, markets tanking and then picking up again. We talk about the Asian crisis that we also saw as well, and the markets crashing and all that. And then the other part of the question was, should people actually stay invested given the type of volatility that we're actually experiencing right now in the market? And the answer there is definitely, you know, what investors need to understand is that investing in the stock market is actually a long-term prospect. So when you invest in there, you're investing more for the long-term rather than, you know, the short-term. And as you invest in the stock market, you need to understand that there's going to be short-term volatility in the market. And that volatility will be driven by a number of things, you know, the number of economic factors which are affecting you. So that is taken into account when you're actually investing in a particular, you know, in the market. However, there are design principles that come in with, you know, investing in the market such that, you know, you are able to handle this type of volatility. I mean, one of the biggest factors is the fact that you need to actually have a diversified portfolio. So by diversification, you're actually having in your portfolio instruments or asset classes as well as sectors that counter each other in terms of movement. Now, when the interest rates are moving in one direction, you find that your stock is not very sensitive to that particular movement and it's actually stable. Or when inflation is moving in a particular direction, you find that you're probably in a stock that's actually not actually sensitive to the inflation movement. So it's very, very important that your stock is actually diversified. Diversification across the different sectors, you know, retail, diversification to financial, diversify into the different sectors, because the different sectors get affected by this economic variables in different ways. So interest rates, inflation, and global growth affect these different stocks in different particular manners. And so these sectors in different particular manners. So it's very, very important that you know that your portfolio has got good diversification in that regard. You diversify in geographical terms. You know, you have stocks in China, you have stocks in Asia, you have in Africa, emerging markets and all that. So that also helps to actually increase the type of diversification that you're seeing in your stocks, in your portfolio, and helps to cushion you against the long, that diversification. So one thing that you need to know for sure is that investing in the market is going to come with that short-term volatility, but that short-term volatility over the long term is going to actually enable you to actually experience higher returns in the long run.
So with all of that in mind then, Samkelo, I'm very curious to maybe understand, well, when you look at the reality on the ground, because obviously from a theoretical point of view, it's nice to say that people should stay invested, and it's nice to say that over the long term, yes, you will see those returns, but at a particular time, you know, there's emotions that are kicking in right now. I'm curious to just get a sense, you know, maybe just testing the pulse here of what actual clients are concerned about right now. Are they selling? Are they asking people like yourselves whether it's time to get out of the market? You know, what are their actual concerns right now? You know, is it about the volatility? You know, do they feel like, you know, is, you know, should I keep my money in there, or rather, you know, I actually just need money on hand because life is really expensive. Can I just pull my money out now because I need to pay school fees, I need to pay rent, all of these things? What are the actual concerns on the ground?
The clients have got different concerns, and they're based on the different stages in terms of their life cycle. So you realize that some clients are actually starting off in terms of saving. They don't have families, and they don't have a lot of liability in that regard. Other clients are starting off getting a family, and they're saving towards education. They're saving towards retirement as well. Other clients are actually approaching retirement, and they are actually a year or two from retirement, and their concerns are different. So, you know, clients have got all these different concerns based on where they are in terms of their life cycle. And it's affecting them in different ways. Clients who are about to retire, they don't want to lose, you know, the amount of money that they've saved, you know, over the last 20 to 35 years. So they are more concerned about, you know, will I have enough time, you know, for me to recover if the markets actually tank. Clients who are actually at the early stage of their lives, that are just saving to go for a vacation, they want to know that, you know, will their money be available for them in the next couple of months when they need to take that particular vacation. And other clients are also worried that, you know, I'm saving for the long term, but, you know, my money is already, you know, going down. What should I actually be thinking about? And then, you know, for the clients, it's different messages that we're actually putting up there for them. You know, the first one is, first and foremost, is that, you know, when you're invested in the stock market, especially if your goal is still further away, we encourage you to actually ensure that you have a diversified portfolio such that you're able to actually cushion yourself against such, you know, market turmoil. That's the first thing. Then the second thing is to ensure that you stay invested. So when you stay invested, you make sure that you actually do benefit from the market correction over the long term. We spoke about the different, you know, financial crisis that has happened in the past. You have financial crisis, Asian crisis. What you've seen is even if the markets do tank, they do actually rebound. Even though we cannot actually time the rebound, however, they do actually get back. And then when they get back, they actually even go higher than their previous high. So that's why we say if you're actually invested for the long term, stay in it. Make sure your portfolio is diversified, and the markets do eventually actually correct themselves, and they actually rise, and they make sure that you actually benefit from the return. The other very important thing that we say to our clients is that if the market has actually dropped and your stock price has dropped, when you sell, when the stock price is at the bottom, you are basically locking in the losses. Why do I say that? If you actually bought at 100 and then the market drops to 80, the next day, and you sell at 80, you are locking in that 20 rand drop. You lost 20 rand. But if you bought at 100 and the market drops tomorrow to 80, and then in the next 2 or 3 months the market increases to 120, then you have actually stomached the short-term volatility in the market, and you've managed to gain, which is in line with the asset class that you're in, which over the long term it's going to actually have an increase in value. So we're encouraging our clients to actually stay invested, and we're actually taking them through this journey by explaining what is actually happening at the present moment. And the way that we're designing the portfolios is based on their particular circumstances. Those who are about to retire, they've got much smaller exposure to volatile, you know, asset classes like equities. They're more into cash and bonds. And those who are actually further away from their goals, they are more into the equities and bonds, equities. And those, we're actually encouraging them to actually stay invested and understand what's happening in the market, and also learn from what happened in the past in terms of the market.
All right. So as we're sort of coming to the end of this discussion, Samkelo, I'm really glad that you are, you know, talking a lot about what's actually going on in the market, the concerns that people have on the ground, and also just explaining that little bit about actually locking in losses versus stomaching some of that short-term volatility. We've spoken, you know, quite a bit about the stock market, you know, throughout this discussion, and understandably so, because at the moment that's where we're seeing the most volatility. But that's probably not the only, I guess, area that people are invested in, you know, at the moment. Is there any other, you know, are people this hysterical about any other markets, or for now is it all about, you know, what's going on in the stock market? Because I'm sure that people are invested in other areas, you know, such as, your bonds, for example, and such as your property.
Absolutely. And I'm actually excited that you actually raised that, because, you know, as the economic variables are actually moving, they affect the different asset classes in different ways. We do have clients who are actually invested in cash. They're actually sitting in cash. And your question would be, why is this client actually sitting in cash? That client might be sitting in cash simply because they actually are about to get to retirement, or they are already in retirement. They want to actually use that cash to draw down income whilst they're in retirement. And they probably have that cash there because they probably have a goal that they want to actually buy something in the next couple of months, and they need their liquidity, and so they have cash. So when interest rates go up, like we are currently seeing right now, those clients are actually excited because they're actually going to earn more interest out of that asset class. So for them, it's actually an exciting time because they're earning more interest. And those who are drawing down income, the interest that is coming out of that capital is giving them additional income. So we do see some of the clients who are sitting in cash. They're actually sitting in a happy position. It's a higher interest means, you know, there's higher returns for them. And then we've got clients as well who are actually sitting in property, as you mentioned. And then the other aspect about property is the challenge with property is that most property is financed, so it's mortgaged. So those clients are actually in a situation whereby, you know, if they're sitting on a property portfolio, a property company portfolio, they actually realize that the company is actually in debt, and so the value of that debt is increasing, which means reducing the fundamentals of that property company, and therefore the valuations of those property stocks is actually lower. So if you're holding that stock, then you're worried that my valuation is actually lower. But for people who are actually coming in, it's actually an exciting time for them, because now it's actually an opportunity for them to buy whilst the stocks are actually at a lower point in time. So you can see that different clients sitting in different positions, they're approaching these asset classes differently. If you're invested in it, you're worried that, you know, the valuations are lower. But if you're actually wanting to invest in that asset class, you are actually happy that, you know, it's actually valued lower now. I can actually get it at a lower price, and my returns will be realized sooner than expected. And then you have, you know, clients who are actually sitting on, you know, preference shares. You know, preference shares is similar to a stock sitting on a share. However, it's just that your dividends are actually fixed and they are linked to price. Those clients are actually excited because now, you know, they're going to get higher, you know, dividends, you know, in that regard. You know, the interest that they're going to get is much higher because it's linked to prime and all that. So the different asset classes are affected by the economic variables in different ways. So we do see, you know, that clients who are actually sitting in the different asset classes, they're affected in different ways. Even in the equity space, you know, the clients who are sitting in, you know, the retail sector, you know, which is now being affected by the higher interest rates. So there's less disposable income for people, you know, because of the increase in interest rates and all that. They have to service higher bonds, higher mortgages, higher car repayments. You know, there's less disposable income to actually spend in retail and consumables. And so those are actually facing a tough time in terms of, you know, the stocks that they're sitting in, because now the valuations are lower. But some stocks, you know, are actually more defensive in this particular instance. They are not sitting on a lot of debt, and they are actually, their goods are more required at this point in time. And those stocks are actually doing well. So sitting on the different types of stocks, which talks back to our diversification, different types of stocks, different types of asset classes, different sectors, is helping the clients to actually have a more balanced portfolio, and they're able to stomach, you know, this volatility as over the long term.
Stomaching the volatility over the long term, that's us. We were talking to Sam Kelozwane, who is the head of product over at FNB Wealth and Investments, giving us some of the strategies that investors can actually employ, because a lot of the time you've got your institutional investors, we've got your retail investors, and I think for today, a lot of what is being spoken about is specifically for retail investors, because at least institutions understand what's going on, and you've got investment professionals that have been in the game for a while. But for the rest of us that are either getting into the market, like what Sam Kelo is talking about, the people who have that buying opportunity at the moment because of some of the depressed, stocks and different sectors, there's a lot, that needs to be learned along the way, and there's a lot of grit that needs to be developed in terms of stomaching, all of that volatility. You feel like you are losing money in the moment, but, over time, it could even be a couple of months or a couple of years, you see yourself, making those returns. But how do you make sure that in the moment you stay invested? So, very interesting discussion, and we look forward to chatting to you again. So thank you so much, Sam Kelo, for being with us today.
Thank you to you, and thank you to the listeners as well.
This is Madeira Tech.
Great discussion there with Sam Kelo, just around what's going on in the market. And I think it's a very important discussion to have, simply because we are at that stage where a lot of people are trying to find ways to be growing their money, because life is expensive at the moment. And because life is expensive at the moment, there is the real reality now that people might actually feel like, no, I can't be staying invested, let's say, in the market, because, my money, I could rather be doing something with it right now. That is a real thing that people are currently dealing with, but like what we said, over the long term, and by long term, we're talking longer than a couple of weeks, longer than a couple of months, longer than a couple of years even. And when one thinks about the likes of Warren Buffett, who have been invested in certain companies, for over 30 years, for example, that's when you see, some of these returns really coming through. But developing that grit is honestly not an easy thing, and like I said, because of the pressures that people are feeling today. And I guess it also just depends on the type of opportunities that people are seeing in the market. A lot of people don't even have the money on hand, or at least feel like they don't have the money on hand, because there's so much pressure that is affecting them to actually even be invested in the market. So over the long term, we do hope that people do stay invested. And like Sam Kelo said, for some it is probably a good opportunity to get into the market at a lower rate, because you are able to get invested in some of the really good stocks and counters at lower prices, and then start making those gains over time. But obviously this is not a short-term game, it's a long-term game, and people should just at least be encouraged that this is one way that people can actually invest, in one way that people can actually build some of their wealth. But outside of the stock market, there are still other asset classes that people can invest in. And the best thing that one can do, just go out there, do your research, see what's actually going on, and make the decisions out there. The investment professionals would say, at least take the emotion out, when you make some of those decisions. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.